When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
And alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
And there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there, send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
Just swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. As always, I am Jim, I am your host. Today we have, I even hate to say it this way, but really, you know, TikTok sensation Taylor Teasley. We talk a lot about TikTok in this episode because that's how I discovered Taylor. She's done a lot of things with friends of mine, or people that have been on the show. That I, you know, everybody knows that if once you're on the show, I consider you a friend. So, I've wanted Taylor on this show for a while, and I didn't tell her this story, and I hope she giggles when I hear this. A few people had told me not to bother reaching out to her, and I said, well, why not? And I got the, well, you know, she doesn't respond, she's just really busy, she doesn't have time, blah, 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 blah. And that all, probably all is all true things, except for the response thing. She always responded to me and very quickly and very graciously. And, you know, it took us a while. Yeah, hell yeah. It took us a while to figure out a date and get this done. But you know what? After you hear this episode, it was worth every, excuse my language, fucking second that I waited to have her on this show because she was fantastic. She did not disappoint. I absolutely I fell in love with this girl. Not, you know what I mean, right? Like, I love her story. I love how she's done it. You know, she's doing it her way. And I love that. You know, there's a little part of me that had just, like, really understood and appreciated her a lot better. I love her sound. She's got that soulful, raspy, country rock female voice. And I love it. It literally is like, you know, her voice could sing me the phone book. Now I'm probably getting creepy, right? I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? Like, it's a great sound. It's very unique. It's very unconventional. God, I cannot speak on these episodes lately. You know, she's not a Carrie Underwood. She's not a Shania Twain. She's a Taylor Teasley. That's it. End of discussion. Bottom line, done. She is Taylor Teasley. She is not like anybody else in country music, and that's why I love her. So I want her to tell you her story. So here we go. Like always, you know, commercials, Taylor's story. a little outro from us. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation or our conversation with Taylor Teasley. Enjoy, guys. Hey, everyone, don't forget to check out our friends over at the AfterglowBoutique.com. That's the AfterglowBoutique.com. Or if you're local, they have a great shop at 43 Main Street in Blackstone, Massachusetts. All Boots and Whiskey podcast listeners get 20% off at checkout with the promo code BOOTS. That's B-O-O-T-S at checkout for 20% off at the AfterglowBoutique.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. Also, don't forget our friends over at hogwashandrhinestones.com. Our good friend Ray is the owner over there. She makes incredible clothing that you've seen all over the place, from Nashville to Boston to everywhere in between. Some really big names have worn her stuff. That's Hogwash, the letter N, rhinestones.com. Check them out. Tell them the Boots and Whiskey podcast sent you. You won't be disappointed. Check them out. Hogwashandrhinestones.com.
Hello, hello.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just, you know, here in Nashville, just doing what I can here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, like I told you, you know, before all this is about you, right? So you're gonna tell your story, and I'm gonna interject as things come up, because I'm sure something interesting will come up that I'm going to want to dig into a little more. But before we get started, tell everybody who you are and, you know, kind of the path you're on.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So my name is Taylor Teasley. I am a country artist. Originally, I am from Southern California. Currently, right now, I am in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm just, you know, out here doing what the musicians do, you know, playing shows, writing songs, telling other people's stories, just doing what I love, and just kind of throughout the days, just kind of finding myself through life.
Now, so being from California, you haven't been in Nashville long.
No. So I fly back and forth between Southern California and Nashville every few months. And this last trip, actually, I was supposed to be here for about 2 weeks, and I just had a couple close friends of mine kind of talk me into it and just be like, hey, look, this is where you need to be. Cancel your flight. Just cancel your flight home. And I did. I canceled my flight and, you know, tried to, you know, find my life here and kind of get my feet on the ground and touch the water. And now I finally started, you know, play some shows around town, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, looking at your website, you know, we're going to get into how you came to be you, but looking at your website, even just in the last month alone, you know, because we're here it is, it's August 1st,
beyond a few weeks,
but, you know, you've played the Moxie downtown, you've played at Winners, you've played at Cabana Taps, you've played, oh, Jesus, the Taco Bell Cantina, which everybody raves about, you know, which may sound funny to people that don't know, you know, what the deal is down there, but, you know, I hear from people all the time that they love playing at Taco Bell.
Oh, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. You know, you tell your family or your friends like that aren't here in Nashville, like, oh yeah, I'm playing at the Taco Bell. And they're like, what? Taco Bell. And you know, they don't know that it's, you know, similar to the one that's like in Vegas, you know, it's the Taco Bell Cantina where you can get whiskey and your slushy, you know?
Right.
It's a little bit more of like a bar vibe. And let me tell you, I absolutely loved it. I did a 4-hour set solo the other day, and just the crowd, the overall vibes, it was just so much fun.
That's awesome. That's really cool. You know, cause it's, you know, I've been to Nashville once, and I don't think either A, it wasn't open yet, or B, I just had no idea it was there.
Right.
But that's definitely a stop the next time I'm in town for sure.
I agree. Definitely stop there. It's just such a cool vibe inside. And then you can get, they have like ton of slushies you can get. Like one of my favorites is just like a Coca-Cola slushie.
Yeah.
That is like, since I was a child, like I remember I used to love on the weekends, you know, going and getting a slushie, a Coke slushie with my dad. And so I like stuff like that. But then you can also ask them to put a little whiskey, a little rum, you know, whatever, you know, floats your boat. You can put that in it.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Yeah. Now, what's it been like doing this back and forth thing? You know, because California is one, you know, we'll keep it, you know, mild here. It's one way. And then you go to Tennessee, it's another way.
Right. So we'll put this on, like, you know, like, music aspect point.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. And this is where I'm going with this is, Southern California doesn't have much of a country music scene.
Correct, right.
You don't have the support that you do in Nashville. And I'm talking about, like, the people and the other fellow musicians. The community is so different. They're very, very, very different. Polar opposites almost. Everyone here in Nashville is very supportive and they're looking out for one another, trying to help each other because we're all in the same boat, you know. And it's in California, I find that there wasn't a lot of that. And it was hard for me to, I did everything I could as far as social media. 2020 was, you know, when everything kind of, you know, went down in the world. And that is when everyone turned to social media. And that's when I started making all the connections in Nashville. And I was like, okay, eventually, like, I need to make my way back there again and, you know, meet these people that I've met and become friends with over, you know, months or over a year, basically. Right. And so I did that. And I did it a couple times where I, you know, was here for a minute. And then I went back to California and then I went back to Nashville. And it's just the difference of me being here in Nashville in the amount of time that I've been here has just increased. I mean, huge for me. I feel like my artistry has grown even more with just me being in the community, day in, day out, living and breathing it no matter what time of the day. And just the connections that you make and the friendships that you make while being here, any country artist, I would say, like, you know, there's nothing like being in Nashville as an artist.
Yeah, for sure. Now, what, you know, for people that may recognize you and your name and whatnot, you know, you figured out TikTok and figured it out, you know, pretty damn well.
I try. Don't get me wrong. TikTok is something else, let me tell you. Constantly changing their algorithm, meaning they promote what they want to promote when they want to promote it.
Right.
And so something that works one day might not work the next. So you're constantly having to be creative and, you know, figure out, okay, what should I post? What do I think people would relate to? You know, and that's one of my biggest things when it comes to my social media is, you know, is it relatable? Can people relate to this? Are they going to, you know, look at this and be like, I feel that way, or, oh my gosh, I like that too. You know, something that they relate to. And with TikTok, you were saying, you know, I don't know if you were asking me as far as, like, being out here in Nashville or as far as TikTok, are you meaning, like, if I'm, like, recognized out here?
I mean, either way. I mean, you know, you know, do you walk down, you know, Lower Broadway and people are like, hey, I've seen you on TikTok. And then, like, you know, maybe not know your, you know, your name, because that shit happens all the time where you recognize someone and you're like, right. Oh God, what's your name? But I know where you're from, kind of deal. You know, right. Do you get a lot of that?
You know, what's funny is I do get it fairly often, actually. And every time I'm going to be honest with you, every time I am so excited, but I am so nervous. Like, it's just such an, like, it's so weird to me. I'll tell you about the first time it happened when I was in Nashville. But it's such a funny, like, thing that it happened the other day. I was at a friend's show and somebody came up to me and they were on vacation. And so, like, they weren't even from Nashville and they came up to me and they were like, are you Taylor Teasley? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And they were like, I follow you on TikTok. Like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe you're here right now. And for me, I'm literally like, you know who I am? Like, and I feel like half the time that's my response. I'm like, you know who I am? Like, I'm just so honored. And it's just like such a warm, but like an odd, like, feeling for me. Like, I'm just like, I mean, I love it though. But the first time that ever happened is I was meeting up with a friend and I was in Nashville and I was just, we were waiting. I was waiting on her with another friend and we were getting tacos from a taco truck. And that I walk up, I order my tacos, whatnot, and paid everything. And then she goes, excuse me. And so I like turn around. And the funny thing was, is that here's the thing. I don't know if you noticed on my social media, but for a lot of people, they all know I'm a hat girl. I wear hats like all the time, every day. Whether it's most of the time, it's a trucker hat, but sometimes I do wear like wide brim hats. And I didn't have a hat on at all. And she goes, is your name Taylor? And I was like, yeah. And I thought maybe I'm like, wait, do I know her from like high school? Like, you know, like I'm over here thinking like, oh, maybe I know this person. And she goes, oh my God. She goes, you're Taylor Teasley then. And I was like, yes. And she goes, oh my gosh, I followed you on TikTok for like over a year. Like, this is crazy. You were eating at my taco truck right now. Like, this is crazy. And like, we took a picture and everything. It was just, it's such a surreal moment when somebody does that. And I absolutely love it though, when they do it, because we end up having a conversation that's just like supernatural and just like so fun, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be a thrill, because you're not, you know, it just goes to show you're not doing it, you know, I don't want to say for nothing, because you have the follows, you have the likes, you have the eyeballs, right? But like, when you get that recognition, you get that sense of like, okay, you know, this is something.
Right.
Right. Now, do you have that same reaction when you go home?
Not really. I mean, it's happened here and there, but not so much, because I feel like, again, my TikTok is on country TikTok, you know?
Right.
And I feel like, again, like Southern California, there's just not a ton of it out there, a country music scene. Sure. And so I feel like a lot of my followers are from like Nashville. They're from Tennessee, Texas, Kentucky, Wisconsin. Like a lot of them are more, you know, Southern states or states on the other side of the country. Yeah. Not so much, I feel like, California, but it's happened here and there, you know, or I pop up on like an old like high school friend or something, like on their For You page, and then they reach out, they're like, oh my gosh, like, do you remember, like, I was in your class or something like that. And then it just sparks like a conversation, and then we just kind of like reminisce and, you know, kind of talk it over. I mean, like, this is crazy.
Yeah you know, and it's, you know, for you, you see it as, you know, with social media, you know, what were you doing before, you know, your TikTok blew up and all that? Like, were you grinding at this, or were you just kind of taking it as it came?
So prior to 2020 was really when I kicked it into gear.
Yeah. Okay.
2019 is when I graduated college. And I stayed up. I went to school up in Northern California, and I stayed up there because I had a job. And so I worked through summer, and then I came back home later in the year, and then COVID hit, beginning of 2020, basically. And prior to that, though, I was still playing shows on the weekends and stuff like that, but it wasn't anything like now, where I am building my artistry and building my songwriting. It wasn't anything like that. I still had a passion for it, though. It wasn't until 2020 hit, and I went on Instagram first, and I made it public. I've had an Instagram since probably 2013, because my college at the time required us to have it for certain classes, for music classes, for us to communicate with each other. Prior to that, all my socials were on private. And it was only for like business aspects, but 2020 came, and I was like, I have to make it public, which totally freaked me out. But I made this segment called Music Heals, and it was where I went live on Instagram once a week. And it was usually like on a Thursday or a Tuesday or something like that. And it would just be an hour of me playing music, you know, whether it was covers or anything like that. And I started building a fan base from there. And that really wasn't until, it really wasn't until 2020 when I really locked down that country music was the path I was going to take. Growing up, and I was always in chorus or choir, like things like that in school, I never knew where my voice fit, because being in California, it's like pop central music. Like, you have your Ariana Grandes, you know, you have your music like that. And for me, I was like, my voice does not fit that. My voice is low and raspy, and I don't know who to relate to, because I'm, nobody out here sounds kind of like that or has that vibe. And I grew up listening to country music. I grew up listening to R&B. I grew up listening to a lot of different genres, thanks to my parents. My dad's originally from Georgia, and my mom is from California. And so I grew up listening to a ton of different genres, and I'm just an overall music lover. I don't only just listen to country, but 2020 was really what locked everything into me, because I love the storytelling. I love the artistry, the instrumentation in country music. And I think the biggest thing that drew me to country music was storytelling part of it. I love music that's honest and just real, and tells real life situations. And so I finally started doing Instagram lives, and building a fan base off of that. And from there, it, another friend of mine, and I don't know if you, I'm sure you've heard of him, but Nate Smith, he was on social media, and he grew up.
Wait a minute. Did you just say if you've heard of him?
I'm sure you've heard of him.
I mean, and you know what? That's right now. Sorry, I don't mean to cut off your story.
No, you're good.
It's a great story. But that's a hell of a name drop right now. That's a hell of a name drop.
Well, here's the thing, is he lived about 20 minutes from my college. And so we met on social media sometime back in 2018 or 2019. And 2020, we had communication a lot, where he was trying to build his fan base on social media, you know, and I was trying to build mine. Yeah. He's the one that told me, he's like, you need to go on TikTok. Like, you need to get on TikTok. And for me, I'm thinking like, TikTok, I don't want to be doing no dancing. I don't want to be doing any of that, because that's what I associated it with, you know?
Yeah.
And so I finally saw that, you know, there was starting to be, you know, a music place on TikTok. And I was like, okay. Like, and so I posted here and there, and I was like, okay. Like, and it wasn't anything that like really stuck with me for some reason. Sure. And it wasn't until I started seeing more and more musicians on TikTok, and there was, you know, specific trends that were happening. And there was this one trend that I was seeing all of these guys do. And it, you might have seen it if you were on my social media, but it's the one that's, it's always something, but never. And then you go into singing a song. And I saw a ton of guys doing it. And there was this one comment on one of the guys' pages, and it says, oh my gosh, I need a girl version of this. And right then and there, it was like a ding ding. And I was like, wait, I should start doing this. Like, and it be more like, I'm a girl. So I was like, you know what?
Right.
There we go.
I can be the girl version. That works.
Yeah, I can be the girl version of this. And so it started there, and my TikTok just grew from that moment. And I haven't stopped. Basically, I post at least usually once a day, at least now. And people really find a place and relate to that content. And for me, I'm like, you know what? I like that, because it's still relevant to what I'm doing. It still has to do with music. It's still showcasing my voice and who I am. And people are relating to it in the end. They're like, oh my gosh, that just happened to me, or I relate to that. And so that's kind of where it went. And from there, I've, you know, grew this fan base. From there, and it's kind of crazy the way that TikTok works, because you can reach anything and anyone. Unlike, you know, like Instagram, it's kind of harder to grow on there. But with TikTok, it just kind of stuck, and I haven't stopped since. And that's my main platform now, is TikTok. And I go live on there, I would say probably at least right now 3 times a week, sometimes 2, depending on my level of busyness throughout the week, especially with shows and everything. But I usually go live later at night. Like, I'll probably go live sometime after this or later on this evening. And I just kind of hang out with everyone. I play music. I just chat with them, see what everyone's day and what their week is like. And we just kind of hang out.
That's awesome. That's really incredible because, you know, that's how I found you. You know, if it wasn't for TikTok and me scrolling right. through, I probably would have never found, you know, found you either.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It is, you know, and then you see all these people and all these artists where, you know, you hear this story all the time. And, you know, I guess, you know, Nate's a prime example where, mm-hmm. you know, he caught the fire, right?
Yeah.
And the wave brought him to, you know, the level he's at, you know, and it can happen for anybody.
Right. It's crazy when you look at the growth and the opportunities that can happen for people just with social media now. Everything's social media when it comes to music, when it comes to branding, home decor, everything. Everything is about social media now.
Yeah.
And you can grow like crazy on it.
Yeah, you really can. And, you know, it's one of those things where, like you were saying earlier, like, you have to stay on top of it. You know, yeah. TikTok alone is almost a full-time job.
It, you know, because I tell people that all the time. It literally is a full-time job because there's days I have just day and I film nothing but just drafts and I right. save them within TikTok and I just have draft after draft so that I can post them because it's hard to film it on one day and then be like, okay, this is my TikTok for this day. It's right. I did that towards the beginning and that's when I realized this isn't working. I need to have content available at any time for me to just be like, if I'm sitting in the middle of Olive Garden or something and I'm like, okay, it's, you know, this time or whatever, I need to post a TikTok. And that's another story, is trying to find a time to post.
Yeah.
I don't, it's so difficult. And I'm at the point where I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to post it.
Yeah. You know, because even I've done the same thing, even with like Instagram or Facebook, it's like, all right, you know, you Google search, all right, what's the best time to post something on social media? And
right.
then you're looking at the time and you're like, it's 8:50, you know, it's 8:58. And they said 9. Do I wait for 2 minutes? Do I post it now? Like, uh-huh. It's like, it's unbelievable. You know, it's really, you know, it sounds stupid, but it's really stressful.
It really is. But I feel like social media, a lot of my closest friends now, I met them through social media, whether it was TikTok, Instagram, or even, I don't know if you remember, but Clubhouse. I don't remember if that was in 2020. And I don't know if you're familiar with Clubhouse.
No, I think I've heard it before from other people that have been on the show, but it's not ringing a bell at the moment.
So Clubhouse was an app and it basically was like a Zoom, but just audio.
Oh, and okay.
Multiple people could be on in that. It was called a room. You could be in the, and there was this one room I would go into almost every single night, and it was called Goodnight Nashville. And it was basically a bunch of musicians, music business people, anybody and songwriters that were in this room that were from, a lot of them were from Nashville, but there was people from Canada. There was people from all over. And that's kind of where a lot of it started too for me back in 2020 was I was meeting these people that were, you know, working in the industry and I was learning so much just from them. And I mean, like a few of them now are some of my closest friends. And so it started even then. And I just saw, you know, one of them last night, and it's crazy the relationships that you can build with people just over the internet. And then when you meet in person, it's just like 10 times better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, I can't tell you how much I feel that, you know, especially doing this show, you know, cause I hear right. all the time, like whenever you're in Nashville, let us know, whatever. And it's right. like, Jesus Christ, when I get to Nashville, I'm going to have to reach out to 100 different people. And it's, uh-huh. you know, it's never going to work, you know, to see everybody, but I would, right. you know, I want to.
Well, and exactly. And that was me when I was coming back and forth. I was making a list on my phone. I had a list and I was like, okay, I need to see this person, this person, this person. And the list just went on and on and on. And now I find that it's just kind of like I'm not on this time crunch of like, okay, I only have one day left. I still need to see all these people. And as far as, yeah, when you do come to Nashville, definitely let me know.
Right.
And I think it's such a cool thing when you do meet when you meet somebody in person that you've never met before. It's crazy. I have friends that are in Norway who do country music, and I just met them this past trip. They were in town for a little bit for CMA Fest. Yeah. And I met them, and it was just such a crazy feeling because I've known them since 2020, and now we're just now meeting in 2022. And it was just like crazy where the world has come to when it comes to social media. I mean, I feel like the world is just social media alone.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You know, my wife, you know, she, you know, for a while there, she was like, what the hell are you doing? You know, with this show. Right. And then over the last, you know, couple of months, we've really gained a lot of speed and, you know, had a lot of publicity. So like now she's kind of like, all right, I get it. You know, but for a while there, it was like, why are you constantly looking at this? And it's like, because it's like, you can't fall behind. You fall behind by a day or so.
Yep.
Forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's how, I mean, I think people, even I knew, like friends and family, like when they found out I was on TikTok, they were like, TikTok? Like, why are you on TikTok? You know what? That was the first impression I had too. When Nate was like, you need to get on TikTok. And I was like, are you talking about the TikTok I think you're talking about? Like, because people associated it with, you know, kids on there that were dancing, you know, and doing stuff like that. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. But then once they saw, you know, the content I was doing and that it was music related, they were like, oh, like, okay, never mind. Like, this makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny because even when, you know, going back to talking about TikTok, you know, I would see it and, you know, I'm kind of a social media whore. And anything that is social media related, like I want it, I need it, I need to have it. And like TikTok just didn't hit me. I was just like, I don't know. This looks dumb. You know, my wife's younger cousins were on it. And I was like, I can't, you know, I'm an adult. I can't be on this watching, you know, little kids do dances and shit, you know, but like that's all you heard about. And then it was like, you know, it was kind of like when Facebook first started, it was just for college kids. And then mom and dad got it. And then grandma and grandpa got it. So it's like, all right, well, then I guess if everybody else is on it, it's safe to go on.
Yeah.
And you know, to the things you do, it's nuts.
It really is. And then you look at social media now. And it's crazy because it's all influencers, brand deals. Everybody is constantly promoting something.
Right.
You know, no matter what it is, they're constantly promoting something.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so why not? Right. But so why not promote yourself? You know,
exactly.
It's something.
Well, and it's you're basically your own brand, you know?
Right.
Exactly. And so it just makes sense. You know, now when looking back at 2020, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I wish I would have gone ham on it before, like I do now, you know, but my guard was still up. I'm I don't know. Cause when it comes to like, you know, privacy and all that, and I'm just like, I don't know, like TikTok, like,
yeah,
who cares about, like, nobody's gonna wanna see that. You're like, and now I look at it and I'm like, people have just popped off on TikTok. You know, I look at somebody even like, you know, Alexandra Kay. I mean, she's had a journey for years now, but TikTok is what really, really put her out there to be an independent artist.
Right. Right. And there's this, like we said, there's so many of those stories. You know, I probably a dozen people that have been on this show that have been, you know, have done the same thing. You know, it's incredible.
Oh, now, it really is.
Now, let me ask you, because you talked about a little bit, and I find I have this battle with myself, but, you know, when you talk about personal things, when it comes to, you know, your brand and, you know, Taylor Teasley, the singer-songwriter, rather than, you know, who, and please don't take this offensively, but like the person, you know, because they're two different people. They're two different things. you know, how do you manage that? Because your social media presence is so in the forefront, in the limelight, everybody sees it.
Right. So with that, it's a balance, but here's the thing. I am a very private person as it is when it comes to posting on social media, personal things. Like you rarely see me post, you know, family things or things like that. But I feel like on social media, and this is exactly why, for the most part, a lot of the reasons I go live on TikTok is because I genuinely want to know my fans. Yeah. But I want them to genuinely know me. That's my thing. And I want them to see, like, for me, it's not about the bells and whistles. It's just like Luke Combs songs, you know, it's not about the fame. It's not about the fortune. It's not about the name. None of that. I want them to see, like, I am just your average person out there. I'm just like everybody else. You want to have a conversation? Great. Let's have one. And I think that's like my biggest thing when it comes to that. I mean, don't get me wrong, on stage, you know, you constantly have to, you know, keep the audience going. But at the same time, I feel like I try to be my most authentic self at the same time when I am on stage or when I am on social media doing my lives, so that people can feel like they're talking to just another human being, you know, it's not, you know, somebody that's not reachable, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And so, yeah, no, I totally get it.
And I think that's kind of where I am, you know, with that. It's just, and my parents, you know, have always been the ones, you know, guiding me. And like, even when I was a young little girl, you know, just always, you know, keeping my feet on the ground and always, you know, you just want to be yourself, you know? And I think that's constantly something that I aim for. And that's a huge value to me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm with you, because it's like, before, you know, even starting this show, like my social media was an open book. Any thought I had just came right out.
Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, I stirred the pot regardless of what I really thought or whatever. You know, I was that person.
Right.
And, you know, since doing this show, like, I don't do any of that really anymore. You know, yeah, I'll throw out stuff there that I, you know, that it's my personal thoughts and beliefs. But, like, I don't, it's not to piss people off like it used to be. It's just because that's just who I am.
Right.
You know, and I hear it all the time. You know, people, you know, friends, family, they're like, why don't you post about the kids or this, that, and the other thing? And it's like, you know, even though I'm not a, you know, a public figure per se, you know, there's still a following, you know, and I don't necessarily want or need strangers knowing my inner details either.
Right. And that's exactly how I see it. And I've always been that way. Like I said before, prior to 2020, all of my socials were just school-based. I only had them for my classmates because that was how we communicated with one another. And that's what scared me the most in 2020 when I had to make everything public. And I kind of tried to find, you know, a happy medium balance. And I think I've somewhat kind of, you know, have found that. Just because I just like we were talking, you know, it's not something that I like to keep it relevant and I like to keep it true to myself, but at the same time, only to an extent.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I totally get it, because it's the battle I have with myself on a daily basis. Cause I'll see things and like want to say something and it's like, is it worth it?
Right.
Is it worth it? Right. Now I'm going to ask you a really cliche thing. What were you doing before this music thing? Or was music something that you just knew you were going to do?
So let me see here. Long story short, I'm going to try to make it as short as possible. But it's a journey. Okay.
That's fine. Right. Take us on it.
So, long story short, 4 years old, my parents forced me into piano lessons. And when I say forced, I mean like they wanted me to play piano. And I was just like, no. I, for some reason, just I did not really want to at that age. And I stuck with it. I did piano lessons till I was about 12. And I went to my parents and I said, I want to teach myself guitar. And a little bit of history on my family on my dad's side is they are all bluegrass musicians.
Okay.
And I had a hand-me-down guitar. Well, let me rephrase that. My dad had the hand-me-down guitar at the time that was customly made for my grandpa. And unfortunately, he passed. I did not meet him at all since I've been born, because he passed before I was born. But I always was intrigued by that. Like, I always saw it and I always asked my dad, hey, can you play it? And my dad knew, you know, those four chords, you know, three or four chords, very simple, but I always asked my dad to play it. And I always had a connection to that. And so as a teenager, I was like, I want to teach myself. And so I did. I saw an artist, Colby Calais. I saw her playing guitar and singing at the same time, like on YouTube or something. And I immediately was like, I want to do that. And so my parents were like, okay, like if that's something you want to do, like go ahead. And so I went ahead and I stuck with it and I taught myself guitar and I've stuck with it since. And throughout that journey though, I was involved in sports a lot. Like basketball and volleyball were like, they were my jam. And basketball, unfortunately, I had to stop that in high school because I do have asthma and I just couldn't keep up on the court. And yeah. I was able, what was that?
Yeah, you said, I totally get that.
And volleyball, I was able to play about 2 years into college. And then I actually had to come down to, you know, choosing what path I wanted to go through. Cause I did other things along the way. I did some modeling. I did acting. I did a lot of things. My parents were amazing because they put me in so many different avenues that allowed me to like sit back and look at it and be like, what am I passionate about? What do I actually like to do? And when it came to college and all of my things were starting to overlap each other, like games, practice, rehearsals with music. And I was in this pop band at the time. And so they did a lot of traveling. And I had to pick from there, like, okay, is it going to be sports? Is it going to be music? And my gut was just like, it's music. And I had to tell my parents that, and they completely backed me up. They completely supported me on it. And so throughout college, I was in this pop band. And as you know, I don't sing pop music, but it was something that was required within my degree. And mm-hmm. So I was like, cool, I'll sing backups. I sing like low harmonies on like a ton of songs. I didn't sing lead on a lot of songs because they couldn't change the keys and it was just complicated. So I was like, cool, I can just sing the low end harmonies. And it allowed me to really build my ear up as far as, you know, hearing different harmonies within music and different melodies, which was really, really cool. And we ended up traveling. We used to go to like Palm Springs. At the very end, we went to Hawaii for about 3 weeks and we toured over there, played some music. It was great. But from there, I did a transfer in college and I went and got my music industry business degree, because in my first college, I also did audio engineering and I got my certification in it. And so I've kind of gone through a little circle when it comes to music, because I do have a passion for the engineering side of it. But when I went and got my business, my music, that was more, you know, the non-performing side of it. So I did some acoustic gigs here and there, but nothing crazy. School really took up a lot of my time. I had a part-time job as a stagehand, which was really cool, because I got to be a stagehand for like Travis Tritt and like things like that. It was really, really cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I absolutely loved it. But that was kind of my journey with that. And then I came back home into Southern California. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to get back into the gigging life. Like, I got to start playing some shows somewhere. Let me call some bars. Let me call some restaurants. Like, see, you know, who hires live entertainment. And I started doing that. And then that's kind of where it all started piecing back together. Then 2020 hit. World kind of fell off in general. And yeah. Social media happened. And then here we are. So I've had my foot in a lot of different doors, I feel like, other than music. Because I've just my parents put me in so many different things that I genuinely did enjoy. But I knew it all came back down to music. I knew it in my gut. And I think for the longest time, I didn't know my path also because of my location, and where I was. And I didn't know how to be like, okay, let me see if I am a country artist. It was more so of like, okay, all I see is these pop artists. I'm not pop though. Like, I can't sing this, you know? And so it definitely was a journey. I feel like my entire life, music has been a part of it, but I've always been doing something. Always.
That's awesome.
I absolutely love it. I feel like there hasn't been a time, like when I think back, that I wasn't involved in something. I was always doing, and it just wasn't always music. It was other things, but it was also fun. And I feel like it helped build me into who I am and my character and my values, you know? And again, I have my parents to thank for that.
Now, for the stuff you have done in music and the things you've seen, is there any other part of this industry that, I don't want to say you would rather do, but if you could, for some reason tomorrow, you couldn't sing anymore, you know, is there a part of this industry that you would go to without even thinking about it?
Honestly, probably that's a hard part, but it'd be in between audio engineering, because I do have a passion for the recording part of it. And the marketing side of it. I really love marketing. And I've learned to love marketing because I've had to do it myself. And I realized like how many different things you could do when it comes to marketing. And it's fun, but I would say audio engineering, the software side of everything, that is something else that I was also very passionate about, especially in college. And then even so now, I really do enjoy the recording part of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, in high school I played music, well, loosely, right. I played drums and percussion and, you know, music has always been a thing for me, just was never, you know, I didn't have the discipline to, you know, practice for hours and hours and hours, like you need to be any good, but I've always loved behind the scenes stuff and you know, the tours and you know, bringing it up and bringing it down and being on the road, you know. So I love this behind the scenes stuff, you know, so much, and it's cool to be able to do this and hear the stories and you know, really learn about everybody and their journeys, you know, because even though they're all different, they're all very similar too, which has been fascinating.
Oh, for sure, definitely.
Now, when you know, you're still doing the back and forth, I'm assuming. When is going to be the full move to Nashville and say, you know what, this is where I'm living now?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. It could be now. I haven't gone back after this trip right now. I've been here for close to 2 months now. And I haven't gone back to California yet. For me, I'm starting to now, finally, people are understanding like, oh, she's here. Cool. Can you play here? Can you do this? You know,
right.
And I'm getting these opportunities now because people know that I'm in town. And so for me, it's kind of like, I don't know where anything in life is going to take me, but I'm one of those people where I think it is what it is. I'm here for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my gut tells me this is where I need to be right now. And I think I always will need to be here, but right now my gut's like, you can't go back yet. There's a chapter here that I haven't reached. I don't think. And I need to wait till I get to that.
That's awesome. I think that's incredible. Because a lot of people would be on the fence, you know, like you said, you know, do I go back home? Do I stay here?
Yeah.
You know, I think the fear of the unknown, especially in this industry, would keep people from staying in town. You know, they would just be like, you know what, we'll just see what happens. I'll go home. And, you know, I feel like when people go home, that's when they lose it.
Yeah. And the last trip, that it kind of happened for me. I went back home and I was on this high because I had just come from Nashville and I had met all these people. I wrote so many songs, and I had this passion and this fire ignite in me. And I went back home and to California, and I immediately felt out of place almost. Like I felt completely out of it. And that bothered me. Like that feeling inside of my gut that was like, I'm back in California. Like, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And I thought, you know, I thought to myself, like, you know what, maybe for this place and time, this is where I need to be, you know? And yeah. I just need to keep doing what I'm doing on social media to stay relevant in the country music scene. And which is what I continued to do. And then this last trip, with support from my, you know, family and friends, they were like, you just need to stay there. Like, you need to figure out things there and see what you can do. And like, don't get me wrong, yeah, for me it was a very bold move. It was something that I was scared to make, like that decision to say, like, am I really canceling my flight home? Like,
right.
It was definitely a scary thought, but at the same time I knew it was the right decision.
That's awesome. You know, as long as you know that it's right, who cares?
Exactly.
Now your new, I guess we'll talk about the music a little bit, which is something I don't do a ton on this show. Because I feel like, you know, you're on here for, you know, we know, you know, I just feel like it sounds weird, but I feel like it's silly to talk about the music when I want to know about you. But anyway, your debut, Nevermind.
Yes.
Now, how many other song choices did you have? Did you grapple with before deciding on this song to be the debut?
When I decided that Nevermind was going to be my first single, I believe four other songs. There was four songs total. So there were three other songs that I was going in between. And I wanted my first single to be relatable as much as possible. And I think also it was a hard decision, honestly, to make. It really was, because I was unsure of, one, the artist side of things, like the sound of it. Like, how do I want it to sound? How do I want people to perceive this song? And I wrote it with a close friend of mine, Liam Coleman, over Zoom. And I think what really brought me to that song was it was a solid write when we wrote it. It took us, I believe it was like a 5 or 6 hour write over Zoom. And at the end of it, I felt solid with that. I was like, yes, like there's nothing I want to change in this song. Like this, I like this song a lot. And so I started playing it on social media, even like on my lives and things like that. And people really gravitated towards it. And I was like, is this something you guys would want me to put out? And everyone immediately was like, yes, put this out. Yes, I relate to this. I relate to this lyric, or, you know, anything like that. And those are the comments and the influences I have when it comes to putting out music.
Yeah. Now you mentioned Liam.
Yes.
We've had Liam on the show.
Okay.
Liam has been a good friend of ours for a long time. You know, and it's cool to hear, you know, a local kid, you know, because for us to Liam, where Liam grew up, is very local. Right. To, you know, do something with you that has, you know, been your baby. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just saw him the other day too. So, and it's crazy to look at, like, even like friends, like their growth, like, cause I knew him over Zoom, and, you know, we did the same thing. We played shows locally in our hometown. And then, you know, I see him now down on Broadway in Nashville, and I'm like, dude, who are you? Like, you know, and it's crazy, like the growth, but also like the excitement that you see within your friends and your artist friends living their dream and doing what they love.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now for you, what is your plan now? Now mine has come out, you know, what's the rest of the year look like? You know, what's the discussion there?
So I actually, on this trip, I just finished recording my next single, actually. Awesome. And so that will probably be coming out towards the end of summer, maybe fall. And I actually pushed it back. It was originally supposed to come out in like middle of summer, but I had a songwriting cut just come out like a week ago with Holden Barter. He's originally from like the Philly area, but now he lives in Nashville, and he has a great, great presence about him. But he released a song called Stone Harbor, and I wrote that song with him back in 2021. And it's about Stone Harbor, New Jersey, which is his beach town that he used to go to in the summertime with his family. And he's there right now, actually doing a ton of promotion and everything, because it's like basically blowing up there. And people are going crazy over it, over in that area. And now it's starting to make its way down the eastern coast and whatnot. And so like it's getting coverage by the news now, like Fox, NBC, ABC. And it's just so super exciting. And I'm, you know, trying to do my part, anything that I can do to help the promotion process of it.
That's awesome.
And so that's kind of what I'm doing a lot of right now. But then I'm also doing the whole planning thing for my next single as well.
Absolutely. Now, is the next single's ready to go? So
the next single is ready to go. It's fully recorded and everything. The only thing I'm actually waiting on is I am waiting back to get the master completely. I had a couple changes to it, but I'm super, super excited to put it out.
That's awesome. That's really great. Now, is whatever's next after that ready to go, or is that still in the early
that
stages
is,
as well?
That is still up in the air a little bit.
Okay.
I feel like I always have an idea in the back of my mind of like, okay, the next song is now, but I'm already thinking ahead, like, what kind of song do I want to release after this? You know, what story do I want to tell people through that song? And so right now it is not recorded.
Okay.
But there's ideas here and there of songs I have already written of possibly being released.
Awesome.
So the thought's there. The thought is there, but no like set in stone concrete decision yet.
Nice. I love that. I love knowing that there's something, and because it makes you excited to see what it is.
Oh, absolutely. And it makes me excited, even, to be honest, because I never know what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a surprise for all of us then.
Absolutely. Yes.
Oh man, that's so awesome. Now, Taylor, I know I've taken a lot of your time, and I thank you for it. There's a few things that, you know, I know I told you I don't have any questions, and I don't, except for what are your boots and what is your whiskey of choice?
Okay, one more time, because unfortunately you broke up a little bit on my end.
Of course I did. Boots of choice and whiskey of choice, seeing we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast.
Okay. Well, I would have to say, here's the thing. For boots, I do have a pair of boots back home. They're Ariat's. Anything for me that's brown leather, like good quality leather, brown, that's me all the way. Nice. And simple. I like very like just toned down, like something almost like with a little bit of like a vintage vibe, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I kind of go to. Now whiskey, on the other hand, let's see. I rarely drink whiskey on the rocks. I've had it a couple times, but I haven't it hasn't been my thing. But whiskey sours, now let me tell you, that is my jam. When it comes to whiskey, am I like super picky on it? No, I'm good with like a good Jack Daniels, you know, or that. I feel like majority of the time that's what it is.
Yeah.
I feel like most of the times it's just either Jack Daniels or Jim Beam, but for the most part, probably a Jack Daniels. I'm also a moonshine drinker. So there's that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That, you know, I haven't gotten into the moonshine. I think I'm too much of a wuss.
Let me tell you, okay. Apple pie moonshine, okay? I drink Sugarlands. They're based out of Gatlinburg, Tennessee. But I drink their apple pie moonshine. And let me tell you, I don't even like apple pie. Fun fact for everyone. I don't like apple pie. I don't like my fruit mixed with the bread. Like, it just doesn't go for me. I know. But I like apple pie moonshine. So that tells you, obviously, it must be good if I like it.
Must. Right.
Or there's these other places. Actually, a few different distilleries have them, but they're pickled moon. Like, they're pickles in moonshine.
Those are good. I've seen that. No, so how strong is that? Because I've seen, you know, because they have what, cherries and all different kinds of things. I don't know that I could do it.
So they have like, yeah, cherries and things like that. And I don't ever mess with those. And here's the thing. I'm a casual drink here and there. I'm not a shots girl at all. I will not do shots. You will not find me doing shots. But like moonshine pickles, like, I actually, let's see here. I have a jar actually right here. It's 40 proof. 40 proof. And the pickles are just like, they sit in it, they marinate in it, and they taste great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I like
now, it. Do you have to put them in the refrigerator once you've opened them?
So, yeah. So you can put them in the refrigerator, and then I just do. But like my other moonshine, like apple pie moonshine, I leave that out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try it. I think I'm going to just like screw it and do it.
You should. And then you can let me know what you think. I've also heard that vanilla ice cream with a little apple pie moonshine drizzled over it, I heard that's pretty good too, but I haven't tried that yet.
Oh, I'm sure that sounds delicious.
I know. I haven't tried it, and I'm very, very tempted because I have both of them here. So
you should do that on your TikTok live one
yeah
day.
Maybe
just,
I should
just be like, you know what, we're not singing songs today. We're gonna do ice cream and moonshine.
Oh my gosh, people honestly would love that.
They would. Your views would go through the roof.
Do that, and then do like a Q&A at the same time. Because people have my fans have really been wanting me to do a live where it's just like Q&A and they can just ask questions. I think that would work perfect.
Right. And then that way you can just ignore the stupid ones, you know, the stupid questions that you get.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and just be like, no, I'm not answering that, you know, and just keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Taylor, this has been a blast. You know, I like to try to keep this within an hour as much as I can. You know, when I stop, you know, the chaos and slow it down.
Right.
I thank you so much for your time. I've had a great time talking to you and getting to know you. And, you know, I wish you nothing but the best of luck. And you're always welcome on this show. And I'm, you know, I'm happy to be able to call you a friend. And when we are in Nashville, you know, hopefully there'll be something coming up next year that I would love for you to be a part of, but I can get in contact with you about that later because I don't want to give too much away in case the competition's listening.
But
there's definitely things coming up that I would love for you to be a part of, and we'll be in touch for sure.
Definitely. And thank you so much for reaching out and having me on your podcast. I was looking so forward to this. So it's always fun for me. Back in 2020, I used to do a lot of Instagram interviews too and whatnot. And those were always something I look forward to. So something like this, and I feel like we've had so much contact since we've known each other. So it's always nice to kind of actually finally sit down and have just a nice conversation and just kind of hang out virtually, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's what this has really turned into. And it I love it, you know, and it's allowed me to meet so many different and cool people. And, you know, like we were talking about earlier, you know, there's people that you do want to see, you know, because you talk to them all the time. And then there's, you know, people that be like, oh yeah, contact me. And then you're like, well, we don't really talk. So, but yeah, you're definitely on the list of people to contact once we get to Nashville, which will be hopefully very, very soon. We're working on some stuff, but I don't want to, again, I don't want to give anything away. Just,
yes,
just in case.
top secret
stuff. Yeah, for sure.
But thank you so much for your support.
Of
as
course.
Well. You've always been so supportive of me on social media and just in general. And I can't tell you, honestly, it goes so far and I appreciate it so much.
Oh yeah. No, the pleasure is all mine, and anything we can do here, just let us know and we'll put it out there for you for sure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Of course. Well, and Taylor, until next time, I enjoy your TikTok live later on this evening, and every time you do them, they're great. We pop in every now and again when I can
take five minutes
and scroll through, but everything's been enjoyable that I've seen from you so far, and really keep up the great work. You're doing great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we'll definitely keep in contact. Definitely have to meet up whenever you're in town, and I'd
absolutely
love to collab with you guys on something and do something together. I think that'd be a lot of fun, and hopefully just finally meet each other in person.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds all great. And when things come up, we'll make it work for sure. Hell yeah.
Perfect.
All right, Taylor. Well, have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You as well. All right. Bye-bye.
Of course, we can't forget our friends at the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company out of Canada. That's drsupplyco.com. They have great stuff. All of the hats I pretty much wear, all the camo hats you see me wear either on TikTok or in pictures or whatnot, all come from the Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company. A big thank you to those guys out there. drsupplyco.com. Check them out. Canadian company. Great stuff. Check them out. Well, there you have it, our conversation with Taylor Teasley. I can't tell you how much, like I said at the beginning, how much I absolutely loved talking with her and hearing her story, because it honestly wasn't a story I expected. I expected her to have almost an easier time based solely on the TikTok success than she has. And I love that she keeps grinding and she's doing awesome, awesome things. And she's working with our good friend, or has worked with our good friend, Liam Coleman. It's great. It's great to see all of these people we've talked to doing great, great things. And I love it so much. So Taylor, thank you so much again, everybody that is tuned in. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed Taylor and I's conversation, because I loved it. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere, all the social medias, bootsandwhiskeyentertainment.com. Beats, Beer, and Bonfires has our blog until the first of the year. So check that out. And then we're going to switch over to something. I don't know what yet, but we'll do something in the meantime. So thank you all so much for being a part of this and helping us get there. We're almost at episode 100. Almost there. Almost at episode 100. I've got some ideas for episode 100. Hopefully we can get that done soon. But until next time, guys, keep the boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers.